Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. It is Rich Wilson, and welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. I am all alone this evening, at least for the first few minutes, and then we've got a special treat for everybody. We are bringing on the great Lenny Melnick, who many of you know Lenny. He is, I think, the self-proclaimed godfather of fantasy baseball. He's been playing for a long, long time, one of the original players in Tout Wars, played in Labor, won Labor multiple times, was actually the original co-host with myself and Tony Cincotta 6 years ago when we started up this show. He's gone on to do better and greater things on Roto Experts and Sirius XM. He actually has a podcast every day. I don't know how the world he does it every day, but he's actually on there talking, reading box scores, telling everybody that happens. We'll let him tell us how we can go and download that. But just a great guy. I've known Lenny for years and years, and I actually loaned Lenny a little bit of money when he was down and out, and maybe he'll share that with you guys as well. Tim is on vacation. Tim, I sent him a note last night to see how his big wedding went. One of his children, I believe, was getting married, or maybe a relative or something, and Tim actually had to do the toast. And so I texted him off to see how things went, and it looks like it went well. He's been out on Facebook and Twitter doing his thing, but he'll be back with us next Sunday, and we will carry on as usual. Guys, so let's get rid of some of the housekeeping just to start off. If you want to get a hold of us, the best way to do that is on the Twitter. You can get myself at Rich Wilson FSG, at Rich Wilson FSG, of course, the great Tim McLeod, at Timothy LMC, at Timothy LMC. And we'll ask Lenny how we can get a hold of him. It's probably Lenny Melnick, at Lenny, L-E-N-N-Y Melnick, M-E-L-C-H. No, M-E-L, he'll spell it for you, Melnick. I can't spell it at the moment. M-E-L-L-N-I-C-K, I believe. So Melnick, I think that's how you do it. Anyway, so that's the best way to get a hold of us. If you also want to go out to my site, prospect361.com, nice community out there, lots of people asking questions. I answer those. And then, of course, join the Facebook group, which is now well over 1,100, probably one of the best, I think, communities for discussing fantasy baseball, prospects, et cetera. It is out on Facebook. The best way to get a hold of that is just type in prospect361.com Dynasty League groups. It's actually managed and administered by Alan Servinus, who does a really good job. You put all those things together, listen to the show, check out my website, go to the Facebook page, hit us up on Twitter, and you're going to be covered, because we'll talk prospects on my site, crowdsource answers, and the regular discussion on the Facebook page. And of course, listen to Timmy and myself drone on for an hour and a half every week. We also do a midweek podcast that we'll have going on for probably about the next 6 weeks. And probably this week, we're going to be talking speculations and rumors of all of the trades that are going down. We've had a couple of very interesting trades. We'll talk to Lenny about that. We're also going to talk to Lenny about the Mets, and because I know he's a big Mets fan, and just what's going on there. And also, his adage of a rookie is a rookie is a rookie. And, I mean, does that really apply this year? Because some of these rookies are having remarkable seasons. It's interesting. I was on Sirius XM today, and the host asked me, it seems like all of these college guys are really starting to make a difference. Have we seen a shift? And when people are drafting players to go more towards college bats and college arms who are getting promoted much faster, do we need to start attuning ourselves more from a fantasy standpoint? And I thought it was a very interesting question. And I think, no, it's just the times that we're living in right now. It turned out last year's draft was heavy on college bats, heavy on college pitchers, and those guys came up very, very quickly. 2 years prior to that was the Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton draft, two high school kids that moved through the system relatively quickly. I think the bottom line is in the draft, players, you're going to have a handful of players that move through very quickly. More likely, they are college players, but they can also be high school players that just have tremendous upside. We saw it with Mike Trout, Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton. Even though he hasn't really done anything, he's made it to major league. He made it to the major leagues very, very quickly. So I don't think there's a trend that has changed, but I do think that if you've got elite talent, that elite talent will make it through very, very quickly. Guys, let's get off to our sponsor, which is FanDuel. FanDuel's been with us for the entire year so far. You've heard me talking about it pretty much every week. If you haven't joined a game yet, I'm not sure what you're waiting for. You deserve more fantasy in your life. Get to FanDuel.com and sign up today. Pick a brand new team any day you want. You can start anytime. The entry fees start as little as a dollar. There's a league for everyone. No season-long commitments, no sign-up fees. Play any time of the day you want all summer long. You never tried fantasy baseball like this. It's a whole new game. Come and join the over 1 million players that have already won money playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use the code P361 and sign up now. The offer is good for New Year's only. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it up to $200, and it gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. The offer is only good for the first 50 people that use the code P361. Go to FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. We're going to pause for a very quick commercial break, and then we get back. We're going to have the great Lenny Melnick. Mr. Melnick,
yes,
greetings.
Sir.
How are you?
I'm excited to come on. It's fun. I love it. Listen, I call FAN all day. Might as well come on your show, right?
Do you really call FAN all day long? That's funny.
Oh, man. Did you see my interview with Mike Francesa?
I did not, no.
Go on YouTube and punch up Francesa Melnick. It wasn't an interview. I called in Lenny from Long Island, as I always do. He kept me on for 4 minutes.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was, you'll be impressed. And then I got in trouble and got suspended. So that's another story.
I don't even know. So yeah. Lenny, you're all over the place. How long have you been doing this fantasy baseball thing?
Let's see. 1993 was the first broadcast, the first rotisserie sports hour broadcast. That was the first show ever. Dealing strictly with fantasy and rotisserie baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. We did it all. And that was 1993, Rich.
Wow, wow. And you've been playing labor and tout war since when?
Well, I don't remember the years. It was the mid-90s for labor and tout wars. Irwin's Willing, myself, and Ron Chandler actually were the starters of Tout Wars. It's an interesting story, which perhaps I'll tell in a later time. But I played in the first labor league, where we had a AT&T hookup with 16 different owners, and Keith Olbermann was in that, Rich. And the first player's name was Bernie Williams. That was the first throw out of the first ever labor league. And Keith Olbermann thought it was going to be National League only. It was, in fact, American League only. And he said, fellas, I have to leave. I am not prepared.
Wow. So what did you guys do? It turned to one player less then?
Well, no. John Hunt, because we were all on one AT&T hookup. John Hunt actually had people on standby just in case somebody lost their connection. So
wow.
He was right in there. So somebody came in and took his place.
So I'm looking at your Tout Wars team now, Lenny. You've had a long-term adage of never drafting closers. And I take a look, you're solidly in second place. You're blowing out runs, home runs, RBI, stolen bases. You're not doing so well in on-base percentage. You'd love to hear that. But with saves, Lenny, you're sitting at a four. You're fifth lowest in saves. And you're still playing that game of not drafting closers. Lenny, if you had a closer, you might be in first place.
I have Soriano. I got Jason Mott. I mean, come on, you know. I have never, 2 years ago, I had to make a decision, Rich. I did not draft a closer, yet I found myself in second place in saves just by picking them up off the waiver wire. I didn't think I had a chance to win the league, so now my decision was, should I go for it and try to win the league, or should I try to win the save category without drafting a closer? And so I had to weigh that, which would be more impressive. So I chose to go after it, and I didn't win the league. But, and I've done the same thing in the Labor League. I didn't draft a closer, and I have Jairus Familia. I picked him up. So there you go. You know, it all depends on how you do it.
Yeah, so it looks like your team's doing quite well. But Lenny, I mean, it's what happened in on-base percentage? I mean, you're last in on-base percentage. Clearly, you didn't account for that because you're blowing out every other offensive category.
Yeah, well, you know, guys like Ian Desmond, I got a lot of guys who have actually killed me. You know, JT Realmuto, who actually has done a good job for me in some of the counting categories, his on-base percentage hasn't been good. You know, I've had some disappointing years. Christian Yelich didn't do quite as well as I thought. But the point is that, yeah, I loaded up in offense. I lost Adam Wainwright. And I've been trying to catch up and get Adam Wainwright back since day one. I just made a trade with all that offense. I've traded away. I just traded away Ian Desmond. I traded away Blackman from Colorado.
Who did you get for Ian Desmond? I'm curious because I'm wondering if the Nationals trade away Ian Desmond. And what could you get for Ian Desmond?
I got Alex Wood, and that was it. Wow. I couldn't get anybody else. I tried with everybody. Nobody wanted Ian Desmond, and I traded him last week, and now I think he's 7 for 12, which is okay, because if you take a look at the – it's all about the categories. I needed a starting pitcher. I have a big upside in strikeouts. I have a nice little upside in wins. I also traded Blackman straight up for Lance Lynn, because it's all about the categories. Too often we get blinded by the players' names, and we don't take a look and see where we are in the categories. I traded Blackman, I traded Desmond, and I'm still going to blow out home runs, RBIs, runs scored, and I'll be first or second in stolen bases, even without those guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're in actually a really good position, Lenny, because you're blowing out so many categories. You can trade from strength. I mean, it's amazing. Who would have thought this time last year that the best you could have gotten for Ian Desmond in an NL only was Alex Wood? But I think the Nationals are facing the same thing. I mean, it's, you know, if they try to move him to bring in some pitching depth, they're going to be in the same spot you're in. But of course, now Ian Desmond, as you said, actually the number one fantasy player this week, Ian Desmond.
He's 10 for his last 19 going into today with a 6-game hitting streak. So there you are. I cringe. And Charlie Blackman, who last year carried my team for the first half, faded big time in the second half. He hasn't faded. He's got over 30 steals. And I traded Blackman about a month ago, and I'm still either tied or leading the league in stolen bases. Again, all this is great. It's just a lesson to be learned that we get blinded by the names of the players, and we must take a look at the stats. And this goes back to many years ago when I traded straight up. I traded Albert Pujols straight up for Chone Figgins. The commissioner of my league thought I was getting ripped off, but I needed the stolen bases in the worst way. And when the deal went through, it secured me a league victory.
I actually like moving Charlie Blackman because from everything I'm hearing, Lenny, we're going to find out about 5 days from now. If he gets traded from Colorado, I mean, don't you think his value takes a huge, huge hit? Because if you take a look at splits, he is a Coors guy.
Yeah, well, that goes for everybody. I mean, you know what? This is such a great time, and with the Mets and all that stuff, isn't it? You know, I got 3 phone calls today when it was announced that Troy Tulowitzki was not in the Colorado lineup. All of a sudden, oh, the Mets are getting him. Here we go. We're getting Troy Tulowitzki because he sat out on a Sunday, Rich. So all of a sudden, it was just assumed, another Met move. You know, we got Tulowitzki. Of course, it hasn't happened. Colorado, you know, there are 2 teams in Major League Baseball, Colorado and the Texas Rangers, that have been in the same mold for years. Colorado, of course, without the pitching, they've gone with Tulowitzki and Cargo for so many years. It's clearly not working. They have to make some drastic changes. Same thing in Texas. They've had their best pitchers have been Matt Harrison, Derek Holland, but they've got to get some, you know, of course, Yu Darvish, but they've got to get some a stud pitching staff going. They've got to, both of those teams have to get out of the mold that they've been in and shake it up a little bit if they expect to be competitive.
I totally agree with you, Lenny, but I mean, why is Troy Tulowitzki still a member of the Colorado Rockies? And they show, at least the report I heard, it was the same report you heard, is that the Mets said that the Rockies don't seem like they want to move them. And that's what everybody's been saying. They love the bobblehead day with Troy Tulowitzki on it, but it yeah. feels like that's the wrong thing for the organization to do.
If there's one thing that you cannot trust, is you cannot trust any words from any general manager, any team representative, any agent, or anybody. You just never know. You know, I made a list of all the players that I thought the Mets would get, and I really don't understand how the Dodgers could trade Uribe to the just because he is what people may not know. You know. A few years ago, two players changed the fortune of the Tampa Devil Rays, what they were called, and that would be Cliff Floyd and Troy Percival. And they changed it, even though they were well past their peak, because they were two clubhouse guys. Yep. And if you played if you played any kind of sports, whether it be Little League or high school or college, you know, every team needs a team leader. And Uribe, to what I understand, has been that for the Dodgers. And Mike Morse.
Absolutely. Yep. Look what happened. Look what happened to Yasiel Puig once Uribe left. I mean, he imploded again. And I think I totally agree with you. I think the Mets are going to be a much better team with Juan Uribe because he's going to, I mean, they don't have David Wright in there anymore. And I think he's going to change that clubhouse around.
When Washington traded Mike Morse, that was their downfall. I went to a couple of Washington games, and one of the things I wound up doing was looking in the dugout, you know, when the team was at bat. Mike Morse is like a coach, a cheerleader. I mean, so many things I've heard about him as far as being a team leader, a coach on the field. Just every team needs that. And as soon as they traded Morse, Washington hasn't been the same. And I wonder if trading Uribe is going to come back to haunt the Dodgers.
Yeah, a lot of people, and Ian Kahn was always on our show, and he always talked about that thing that never appears in the stat line, and that's heart and soul of a team. And I think Juan Uribe is just an okay statistical player, but he brings a lot more. But we are talking about your Mets, Lenny, and obviously the pitching is unbelievable. They're the fourth best in ERA in the majors, 3.33. They're the seventh best batting average against in the league at 2.40. But the offense, as we've been talking about, Lenny, is horrible. They're 233, which is last in the league in batting average. They're last in slugging. They're second to last in runs scored. And they finally brought up Michael Conforto, who I think by May 1st, Lenny, was probably the best offensive option for the Mets, and they just kept him down. And he went hit four hits yesterday. I mean, he's not that good, clearly, but I'm glad they made that move.
Yeah, well, they had to make it. And fortunately, you know, there was an announcement that he was coming up last Thursday. And then somebody must have realized that they were going to face Clayton Kershaw and Zach Greinke. Could you imagine a guy coming up from AA facing Kershaw in his first game, Greinke in his second game? So they kind of had to derail that. Look, you know, the Mets, and I've been a big Met fan, as you mentioned, since they drafted Hobie Landreth as their first selection in the expansion draft. And Casey Stengel was asked, why Hobie Landreth? And he said, well, we need somebody to catch the ball when the pitcher throws it. That's how the Mets got started. But, I, you know, at first, my position would have been, you have to give this Matt Harvey, Jake DeGrom, Noah Syndergaard, Steven Matz, Zach Wheeler, you have to give this tandem a chance to have a year together, and let's see what we got. This could be one of the best pitching staffs ever assembled. And then I started thinking about Bill Pulsifer and Paul Wilson and Jason Isringhausen, and it scares me a little bit. The truth is, as I think about it more, I hope they trade Zach Wheeler. I hope they make another deal, because let's face it, Rich, how many teams have more than three good starters? You don't need five good starters. Of course, you got to, you know, you got the spectrum of injuries.
You need five good starters, Lenny, when you're rolling out this lineup. Grandy, Tejada, Flores, Mayberry, and Campbell, 165 average, Campbell, 176 average. Those are your four and five hitters. Lucas Duda, 237, Lagares, 254, Recker, 130, and that was the evening, Bartolo Colon. I mean, they can't hit, Lenny, and you got to throw out a guy that's going to give up two runs or less every outing just to get a chance to be in the game. And Lenny, they are still in it.
Yeah, and I get the feeling that Zach Wheeler is the guy. Don't forget, you know, last year or in the offseason in that Justin Upton deal, Max Fried was traded, all right? He was one of the key guys, and he was recovering from Tommy John. So it's not unprecedented that Zach Wheeler could get traded. And who knows, perhaps they can get a Jay Bruce or another hitter. But the thing is about the Mets, don't forget, here's a team that was pitching strong to start off with. They were really counting on Harvey and DeGroom and Syndergaard and Nice, and they lost David Wright. They lost Travis d'Arnaud for most of the year. Daniel Murphy was injured most of the year. Lucas Duda has been in a horrible slump in the second half. Kadir hasn't panned out, and everybody's killing Sandy Alderson. But I got to tell you something. I'm not killing Sandy Alderson. I think he did all he could. I think, you know, if Duda had a good year, if Kadir did what he was supposed to do, if d'Arnaud didn't get hurt, if Wright didn't get hurt, I think the Mets would be in pretty good shape. And to kill Alderson, what is he going to do now? What is he going to do? You know, he's got his hands tied. And whoever thought at this period of time, the Mets would have signed off on this in a second to be three games behind Washington and in the wild card race at this point of year. I think the Mets are lucky. But let me tell you something, Rich, it all starts next year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Jacob deGrom, he could be as good, if not better, than Matt Harvey. And this is a guy that every outing he goes out, this is a guy that has a chance to throw a no-hitter, has a chance to put up a zero and earn runs. And I tell you, the bullpen blew it again today for him. I have a question for you. You mentioned David Wright. Does he come back this year?
You know, after getting Uribe and the other guy.
Kelly Johnson.
And Kelly Johnson is a nice player. I like that move. But you got two guys that can play third base here. I mean, every indication tells me not to expect Wright. But I'm going to ask you a question about Jake DeGrom. Where did he come from? I mean, was he hyped up in the minor? What kind of a prospect was he when he was in the minor leagues?
I saw him 3 years ago and never heard of him before. And I went to an outing up in Binghamton, and I saw this kid, lanky guy with the hair, and I'm going, first of all, he's cool, right? And then I saw the stuff, and it was lighting on my radar gun at 94, at 96. He had a really good slider and a decent changeup. I go, who is this guy? And then I read all about him, converted shortstop, and really good stuff. And I started writing about him, and he came up very, very quickly after that. And he was injured. He had Tommy John surgery, and that really delayed his maturation. And of course, used to be a positional player. And when I see prospects that come over either playing basketball or come over as a positional player first, those are guys, pitchers, that I really fall in love with.
Yep, he was a shortstop. He's a pretty decent hitter. When they put up Newenhouse to pinch hit for DeGrom, I mean, scratches your head a little bit, because the Met pitchers actually have a better batting average than the Met pinch hitters.
It's amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah. So why do we remain Kelly Johnson fantasy relevant?
Yeah, not in a mixed league. You know, he's going to play here and there. He's going to play when they can fit him in. The Mets are going to, if David Wright comes back, you never know. But he's fantasy real. He's, because he's not a bad player. He's a fill-in guy. He's better than a dead spot. Same thing with Uribe. There's nothing there of really any substance other than to certainly fill a spot. They're very relevant in an only league. But they're probably taken in NL-only leagues. So there's really not a lot going on. And so far with the trades, except for Cueto going to the American League, you always have in fantasy baseball, the NL-only, the National League only, the American League only. That's where these trades really affect fantasy baseball, when there's a switchover. But for the Met trade so far, it's just been kind of even.
How much are you spending on Michael Conforto this week? And he is eligible now in the NFBC. I don't know. And Tout, if he, somebody's probably already picked him up because he's been rumored to come up. But how much are you spending on your fab?
Well, I'm not going to spend a lot, only because I have a feeling that the way the Mets are going, and today's game was a big game, and just the way they played, I think there's another move left. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kadir comes back and starts to hit. I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets go out and they trade Wheeler and maybe come up with a Jay Bruce type. So I'm not too sure. Look, the guy's only played three games, and all of a sudden we're labeling him a star. He's played in Double A. He's going to be a nice player. But I will say that thing once again, a rookie is a rookie is a rookie. So at this point in time, I am not going to spend a lot of money to get him. If he doesn't, you know, if he flounders a little bit and the Mets get somebody else in another deal, it's very possible that he's not going to play.
Yeah, Michael Conforto can really hit. I don't care if it's Major League or Double A. What I do worry about, while the batting practice is impressive from a raw power, Lenny, he has never showed in-game power yet. And I think it's going to come in a couple of years. So you could be looking at a guy that gets on base a lot, that's going to hit for a high average, but don't expect a lot of secondary skills from the guy. So just know if you're gonna put it all on red and go for Michael Conforto this weekend, just know that's probably the player, Lenny, that you're going to get. Guy's going to get on base, potentially score some runs if anybody can knock him in, but there's not going to be a whole lot of home runs, not going to be a whole lot of stolen bases.
Yeah, and if the Mets do get a Will Venable type or even a Jay Bruce type, his job could be in jeopardy if he struggles even a little bit.
Yeah, Lenny, there's already been, I mean, it got started off first with Scott Kazmir going to the Astros, and it was a nice little trade by them. But Johnny Cueto was the big name, probably one of the biggest names that's going to be moved this offseason. He goes for Brandon Finnegan, who we've already seen in the majors. In fact, he was one of the few guys, if ever, who pitched in the same year in the College World Series and the MLB World Series. John Lamb, which is a huge reclamation project, he comes over, now starting to look like pitching back to his old velocity. It took him 3 years, Lenny, to recover from that after Tommy John surgery. And Cody Reed, what do you think about Johnny Cueto going to the Royals? That seems to lock them up as the favorites in the AL.
Yeah, you know, coming into the season, I thought the White Sox would have a great run. It doesn't look like that's going to happen. Then you got the Cleveland Indians, a team that's who's got four starters in there who, at the All-Star game, they were, I think, the only team in Major League history to have four starters with over 100 strikeouts. So, but that team hasn't panned out. Detroit, without Verlander and without a bullpen, they're nothing. Minnesota, nice team. But Kansas City looks like this deal was a brilliant deal, really solidifies their position. Of course, losing Vargas doesn't help them at all. But if Ventura returns to form, the Kansas City team just fundamentally very sound. And that's why I love that bullpen. You know, it was years ago that when John Wetland was the closer for the Yankees, that they had a kid named Mariano Rivera as the setup guy. And then after that, everybody knew who the setup guy was, and every team went out and got a setup guy. It's copycat baseball. Kansas City with that three-man alignment in the bullpen. Let me tell you, I'm a Yankee fan also. I'm one of those Yankee Met fans. I don't know what I am.
But
I'd love to see the Yankees get a closer. And this way, they don't have to burn out Betances and Miller, and they could really shorten the game to, I don't care who the, I'm saying John Papelbon, but people are sick of hearing that from me. But I don't care who it is.
But the Yankees have never gotten, I mean, in recent history, they have not traded big at the trading deadline, Lenny. They just haven't. Mm-hmm. They've added little pieces. They've done big things over the offseason, signing free agents, but they've never moved a lot of guys at the trading deadline.
Well, I don't think they'll have to move. That's why I say Papelbon. Look, if they wanted to get Kimbrel or Chapman, who they say that they're available, I don't know. That I agree. The Yankees aren't going to give up any prospects. But you don't have to give up a lot. I mean, you may even have to take Chase Utley off their hands. It's just about the money part. And I think the Yankees are very capable. They don't have to give a prospect. They don't have to give even Greg Burr. They don't have to give anybody. Maybe if they gave him Mason Williams or somebody like that, at least it'll save face for Philadelphia that they got something. But if they take Papelbon and Utley off their hands, it's addition by subtraction for Philadelphia. And I think, I'm going on record by saying I still think it's going to happen.
All right. Well, let's see. I hope so, because I got Kenny Giles in a bunch of leagues. So I'm hoping he gets some saves down the road. So let's talk Detroit Tigers. It's amazing to think that they might not be in at the Miggy Cabrera going down really, really hurt that team. But David Price, Lenny, does he get moved or does he stay?
Well, my gut feeling on that is that he stays. Look, the Tigers are not a team that I think will rebuild. I mean, you know, Miggy is a fixture there. They've got, you know, Victor Martinez, a fixture there. No, he's not going anywhere. Ian Kinsler. I still think that they will gear up. J.D. Martinez, the whole deal. This is a team that's still built to win. Now, they had a bad year this year. That's for sure. I don't think they're going to give up David Price. I think they will make every effort. Now, you never know what's going to happen. I think they'll make every effort to sign David Price, and I wouldn't be surprised if they even get a player at some point. Maybe not at the trading deadline, but in the offseason. I think they'll try to build the Achilles heel for this team. Of course, when Shane Green went down the tubes and Verlander never really progressed, it's easy to say that they need a starter, but that bullpen, if they can fix up the bullpen, I really think they can be competitive next year. I think they want to keep David Price. The only question is, can they?
Yeah, I would move him, Lenny, because I think this year is done. I know Dombrowski came up, and Illich, the owner, has said, gee, we're not giving up. We're going to continue to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be tough to re-sign him. Joe Maddon is, you know, Cubs seem like they're all in on David Price for next year. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of starters out there for next year, free agency. Likely they'll sign one of them. But, man, their farm system is tough, man. They just don't have anybody that they can move for any additional pieces. So I think it's all going to have to come in free agency. So yes or no, David Price moves. You have a no, I have a yes.
Mm-hmm. I definitely have a no. You never know what's going to happen. But I think this Tiger team is going to play for next year and keep David Price. I think Texas will do the same thing by going after Cole Hamels, but that's another story.
Well, we'll get to Cole Hamels in a minute. Jay Bruce, does he go? And if so, where does he get traded to?
Cincinnati wants to get rid of a couple of players. You know, Cincinnati is another team, and you could tell this weeks ago when this team didn't click. They're just loaded with salary. Bruce, Brandon Phillips. It's time to start all over in Cincinnati and rebuild. If they can, I mean, look, they're not going to give Jay Bruce away. They're not going to give Brandon Phillips away, but both of those guys, they will be pushed out the door. In the Cincinnati newspapers, you know, they're all in favor of trading Chapman under the heading of only a good team can afford to have a closer like Chapman. So since we're not going to be a good team for a couple of years, there's no sense in keep. I disagree with that, but that's what the Cincinnati press is talking about. I really think every effort to trade Jay Bruce will be made, and I also think the same thing with Brandon Phillips.
Yeah, so I agree. I think Jay Bruce goes, and there's a lot of teams that could use that offensive pop. I mean, he's never hit for a great batting average. So he's always had trouble, you know, with the length of his swing, but he will hit home runs. Unfortunately, most of the parks he'll go to won't be as good as the Great American Small Ballpark there in Cincinnati, but I think he moves. And I don't know about Chapman. I kind of agree with the press that are saying that, you know, why have this very expensive top-notch closer when you really don't have a chance to compete? And I think he will bring back a King's ransom. That's just my opinion. Let's move over to your Milwaukee Brewers. Carlos Gomez, Lenny, could fetch a King's ransom. He's only got 1 year remaining. I doubt the Brewers can re-sign him when he hits free agency. Seems like the perfect time to move a Carlos Gomez. Do they do it?
He's got 1 year remaining in free agency. The general manager, you know, the upper echelon in Milwaukee still is a little unsettled. I think they're going to wait until the offseason to see what they can do in Milwaukee. If they get blown away, certainly Carlos Gomez will go. They're not going to keep him. But I think they're going to wait till things settle in. They've got some decisions. Ryan Braun could be another candidate to go. Everybody's talking about Gerardo Parra. You know, Segura, of course, they got this kid
Orlando Arcia. Big fan. Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, look, this team's going to be a mover in the offseason, whether or not it happens now. And they got some pitchers that teams could be, you know, Mike Fiers is getting a lot of play. Matt Garza could get a lot of play. Even Kyle Loesch, serviceable for some teams. But yeah, this team's going to shake it up, but I'm not sure if it's going to happen now or in the offseason.
Michael Fiers, man, I'm telling you, he is dangerous, Lenny. I think if he moves out of the National League, it is buyer beware, because I've heard him linked to the Toronto Blue Jays. Oh, my word. If he goes to the Homer Donut, it's going to be really, really ugly. I'm going to move out to San Diego and talk for a moment. I know everybody's beating up the Philadelphia Phillies, but how is A.J. Preller not getting just lambasted out there based on trading all these young kids away? Most of them have done great. Look at Matt Wisner's doing. He actually beat St. Louis today. Right. And Trey Turner, I mean, it looks like he's going to be your starting shortstop. And Washington next year, Joe Ross has done really well. And it seems like every move he made, Lenny, was a disaster.
Yep, and now he's getting killed, and everybody's killing him, but those are the same people that were praising him, right? Yep. Although, you know, quite a few people did say it doesn't make any sense. He got some good names, but the team doesn't fit. We don't have a first baseman. We don't have a center fielder. They traded Cameron Maybin away. Look at the kind of year that he's having. There's another guy. So it's, I mean, he has done, it really hasn't worked out. And now I really think that, yeah, there will be some wholesale trades. I don't think next year we'll see Justin Upton on this team. Of course, he's a free agent. Matt Kemp is starting to turn it on once again. I mean, Kemp is amazing. His second half flurries are just like second to none. He's 15. As of Friday, he was 15 for 44 in a 12 game stretch. So seven multi hit games. So he's turning it on. But I think this team will go through an overhaul. James Shields will be on the market as well. Tyson Ross getting a lot of. I wouldn't be surprised if Tyson Ross goes now. The sooner the better for Tyson Ross. I think he's the guy that's going to wind up. Perhaps
don't you think Justin Upton goes? I mean, he's a free agent next year. I mean, there's absolutely no reason for him to be in San Diego.
Yeah, they may give him away, but they're playing hardball. I mean, apparently, you know, look, again, I'm reading the newspapers, and the Mets supposedly made a play for him, and I heard the offer. It was ridiculous. It was like some of the offers I'm getting in Tout Wars for Ian Desmond, you know, but it's crazy. Now this team will shake it up again. You know, as you said, this kid Preller, he's got Will Myers got hurt, and he got a setback, so the whole team's in disarray. Shields will go. Ross will go. Perhaps Ian Kennedy will go. Who knows what this team's going to look like?
I think, I think he's going to move some guys. I don't know if he'll move Matt Kemp. I think Justin Upton goes. I'm hearing Tyson Ross is going to go, and he's controllable. That's really going to hurt his value because he moves out of Petco. And I'm hearing James Shields is going to go, which doesn't make a whole lot. I mean, I just don't know what they're doing. I mean, they give away all the young guys, and then they bring they sign a 33-year-old. James Shield, who we saw at the end of last year, looked like he was past his prime, and I just don't get it. It's like they spent a dollar, they're going to get 25 cents back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, but the whole team is in disarray. So the only question is, with Shields on the market and Samardzija on, there's just so many pitchers that can be had. You just don't know. Certainly Samardzija is gone. I've heard that his teammates have already said goodbye to him. So, all right, he's gone. I don't know about Shields and Tyson Ross. Certainly the winter meetings could be very interesting this year.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Justin Upton, and we'll move over to Cole Hamels after this. Justin Upton traded for Max Fried, which we've already talked about. Dustin Peterson, right. DJ Peterson's younger brother, who's probably going to be better than DJ Peterson. Malik Smith, who's got 80 great speed. And Jace Peterson, who's been a nice little player in Atlanta. And they ain't going to get nearly that. The big name, Lenny, and we've been talking about it all year. I just hope to God he gets traded because I'm so sick of talking about it. And that's Ruben J. Amaro and Cole Hamels. Does Cole Hamels get moved?
You know something? There, until he pitched the no-hitter, I would have said no. I didn't think that the Phillies were getting any realistic offers. Plus the fact that even, you know, he is locked up for 2 years, but at $20 million a year. I mean, that's not chicken feed. And, you know, at his age, there was some question marks about really how good he is. Of course, this no-hitter, I mean, it was just phenomenal that he had, you know, he was able to do it. And the Texas Rangers have come out and made it very clear that they're going to do whatever they can. That's the team that's trying to change the mold of this organization. And they feel that opening up next year, in going into the fray with Hugh Darvish and Cole Hamels as their number one and number two pitcher. That's the kind of team they want to present next year. So they're offering guys like that, Jorge Alfaro. Joey Gallo is another chip that's been mentioned. And a kid that you know better than I do, Nomar Mazara, another kid. It'll be Mazara or Alfaro and Joey Gallo. And I think that'll be enough to get him. I don't think anybody else is going to offer more than Joey Gallo and another good player.
Yeah, I think they'll probably want a pitcher back there. You know, I can't – they're not going to get all three of those guys. That'd be crazy. But I would think it's going to take either Mazzaro or Joey Gallo and somebody else, and maybe Alfaro, and then kind of a third-tier young Dominican pitcher, which they have tons of Dominicans on running around in Ranger land. So it's probably what it's going to take. And you're also hearing the Dodgers, and the Dodgers, man, they need pitching, but because Zach Lee, look, he just got brutalized today. And that's a team, Lenny, I don't know if you've noticed, the San Francisco Giants, they're right there.
Yes, they are. And the Dodgers with Brett Anderson, we'll see, you know, his Achilles injury. We'll see how that turns out to be. Certainly, if he had to go on the DL, that would have really forced the Dodgers' hand. But with Kershaw and Greinke, Bolsinger has pitched fairly well. I think they'll get another pitcher. There's no question about it that they'll get another pitcher. But, you know, with all these pitchers out there, who the heck knows who it's going to be?
Yeah. So Lenny, before I let you go, I do want to talk about one of your famous slogans, a rookie is a rookie is a rookie. And you're absolutely right on it, Lenny. I mean, most of them don't do what we think they're going to do. It usually takes a couple of years. But I got to tell you, this year with Carlos Correa and Chris Bryant, they're batting .255 now, still has 13 home runs, and Jock Peterson, you have to admit, there's been a slew of rookies that have made major impacts, not only to their baseball teams, but to fantasy baseball players.
Well, look, I'm going to have to disagree. I will say, even this year, a rookie is a rookie is a rookie. And the reason I say that is not because these guys aren't going to be fantastic ball players. And you mentioned them all. I mean, Bryant, you got Miguel Franco, you got Jock Peterson. This is just the National League. Solar, Yasmani Tomas, he's a rookie. But if you're drafting them for this year, I mean, really, what are you getting? I mean, Jock Peterson, everybody, Jock Peterson, yeah, he's got 21 home runs. He's also going to wind up batting .220 on the year, and his stolen base total is only, at this point, he's 2 out of 6. So how good has he really been? Solar hitting .258. He's got, 5 home runs? Who's doing anything? And Matt Duffy's the guy who's doing the stuff. Bryant, who, by the way, is really, I don't know if you noticed, but since the All-Star game, he's 6 for 40 with 1 home run and 5 RBI, so he's hitting the wall. So really, who has been worth the overpriced rookie status that we're all up against at the drafts? And you go into the American League, all right, off the top, real quick, first player that comes to your mind, who's the rookie of the year in the American League right now?
Billy Burns.
That's it, baby.
Up 20 stolen bases, a guy you could have gotten any draft that you wanted, and Billy Burns providing values. Yeah. I actually think it might be Nate can't find the plate. Carnes has actually done quite well. Yeah. And Steven Sousa, my boy, 15 home runs, 10 stolen bases.
203.
His strikeout rate is downright scary. I mean, I don't think we've seen this in baseball in a long, long time where guys got almost a 50% strikeout rate. Lenny, he cannot survive in the major leagues by doing that, and I would have never have seen that because his swing is pretty tight. The fact is he can't recognize spin. I mean, he's taken a lot of third called strikes, and it's really, really disconcerting.
Yeah, now surely with all these young players coming up, even Addison Russell and and Correa, and certainly we are seeing the changing of the guard. Certainly not just in Major League Baseball and fantasy baseball, but you could see these guys moving into the top rounds in the next year, the year after, and guys like Hanley Ramirez, Jose Reyes, slowly fading away, moving down the track while these guys are moving up the track. And it's very clear that there's a changing of the guard. I think the best rookie of all Will probably be Carlos Correa. I mean, I
Yeah.
am very impressed with this guy. He only has about 160 at bats, so you can't really say he's the rookie of the year now. I'd put Burns over him. By the end of the year, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Carlos Correa.
I agree, Lenny. I mean, he could be one of the top shortstops drafted next year. It's just remarkable what he's
Oh,
doing.
yeah.
And he's going to run away with the American League Rookie of the Year, because you're right, there's really nobody out there. And it is fast. It's fascinating. His first 150 at bats, way better than Mike Trout. That's not to say he's going to be better than Mike Trout, because Trout
Right.
turned it on in his second go of. A lot of people forget that Trout started the. You know, in it the first year, his first 2010 or 2011 in the major leagues, and 2012 started in the minor leagues before he came up and became Mike Trout. But
Right.
Carlos Correa, I mean, way better, I think. And Tim and I talked about this last week. Who would you rather have long term, Carlos Correa or Chris Bryant? We both said Carlos Correa.
And I think you hit that one right on the head. But for me, the biggest excitement this year for the rookies, Montreal Expos had a second baseman that I drafted when he first came up, and he actually won a league for me, and his name was Delino DeShields.
Yep.
And that was the Montreal Expos. And now to think that I have his kid on my team, and he's stealing just like his dad did, 16 out of 19, doing everything his father did, and helping me win another league. To me, it's phenomenal. It really is. So
Set
hats off to the Shields.
on a plane with Delino DeShields, actually one row in front of him, and talked to him about 15 minutes after he played in Citi Field, the Futures game 2 years ago. I was flying out to California, and he was behind me. I chatted with him a bit, and then I went out to see the Lancaster game that evening because he was going back to High A, and chatted with him
Right.
before the game. Really, really nice guy, Lenny. It's been just a thrill to have you on. Tell everybody how they can find you. I mean, what are you doing these days? I know you got the daily podcast, so tell us how
Yep.
we can find
Well,
that.
first of all, before I talk about myself, I got to say something about you and Mr. McLeod, because I have had more fun on that Prospect 361 on that Facebook page than I can tell you. I mean, the people that you've accumulated there, these are first class. These are just not only great baseball fans, not just fantasy, but I mean, I'm on there every day talking to somebody, right? And it's fabulous. And I want to commend you and Tim for, and also Alan for a great job that he does. It's a phenomenal place to be. I mean, I just love it. And I've got to know a lot of the guys that participate on the site. Each and every one a quality individual. They all know their stuff, and it's just been phenomenal. And they've all helped me out quite a bit with this morning podcast that I do each and every morning on Block Talk Radio at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. It's 25 minutes. It's the best 25 minutes of my life. I got to tell you something. I really enjoy. I'm not kidding you. If you've ever heard it, in 5 minutes you'll know that this is Lenny. This is the guy. This is what makes me happy. Talking hardcore baseball, and Rich, you know what? It's just like you do. It's a baseball podcast. And if you play season long, you can take whatever you want out of it. If you play the daily game, and I talk about that as well, you can take tidbits out of that and apply it to the daily game. So, but it's baseball, and that's the beauty of it.
Yeah, this show has always been baseball first, and fantasy baseball is just part of it,
Yeah.
but it's all interrelated. If you do too much fantasy baseball, and people, I don't think you get the full flavor of that. And of course, then we talk about whatever we want, and that seems that flavor as well. I agree with you on the Facebook page, and it is really all Alan Servinus and Timmy. I mean, those guys are really keeping it up and just do a phenomenal job, and the community is fantastic. So I encourage everybody to go out there. Some people are Tim. Lenny, are simply joining Facebook to go on the on our Facebook
Oh,
page out there.
sure.
So I'm thinking
Oh,
Facebook should give us some kind of royalty or something.
I don't blame him because it's phenomenal. I'll tell you something. It inspires me. I probably 4 or 5 times a week I'll put up a post there, and I'll just be glued because all of a sudden, notification, notification. Right away, any time of the day, I put something up, and people are answering me But all very respectful, even when we argue. It's a beautiful look. I grew up in the 1950s arguing about who's better, Willie, Mickey, or the Duke. And you know something? On Prospect 361, that type of argument hasn't stopped yet. All right, we're still talking about who's better, about rookies that are coming up. And it's phenomenal. Nice going, Rich. You and Tim did a great job.
I appreciate that. Lenny, I can't thank you enough for joining us. Good luck with everything.
Yes, you can. You can lend me some money.
Okay, that's right. I want to tell everybody that story. First time I met Lenny, this is a great story. We were at the Arizona Fall League together. And
Lenny
comes up and says, and I didn't know, I knew Lenny through the show, but I didn't really know Lenny. So he comes up and he says, hey, can you give me $20? Can you lend me $20? And I said,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, Lenny, sure. And I'm like, next time, Lenny's buying drinks for everybody. I'm like, well, what's going on here? So, and of course, Lenny paid me back, but it was very, very funny, Lenny.
That's a credit to you because the 20 other people that I asked said no, all right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm the dope that said yes.
Yes, okay. Hey, thanks for having me on, Rich. Great job.
Okay, be well, Lenny. Guys, we're going to be back in a minute, and we'll continue on with the show. I see that the great Tim McLeod can't see what he's in the interactive chat. And we are back, everybody. I can't thank Lenny Melnick enough. Just a great guy. Truly one of the ambassadors for the great fantasy baseball game that we all play. And if you ever get a chance to meet him, he's exactly the way he is, that he just was on the last 45 minutes with us and with me, myself, and just can literally talk baseball nonstop. It's just it's scary how much he remembers and retains. And I think he reads almost every newspaper sports section in the morning to prepare for his show. So he is truly a remarkable guy, just a really, really good dude as well. Let's get to a couple news items. I see Mr. McLeod, as he just indicated, is sitting out on the interactive chat room. I'm not going to ask him to call in, but if he wants to, it's just to say hi. We're more than happy to do that. Tim can't stay away, so I'm anxious to hear how he made out with his wedding. A couple of news items. Your Down of Ventura gets demoted, and then he reappears, and he actually pitches very well. And what I was going to tell everybody is, and this is exactly what I wrote to myself in the notes, bad year, 5.19 ERA, but a decent 7.6 K per nine, a really good walk per nine at 2.95, a 3.21 batting average of balls in play. His xFIP and his FIP have him at 3.69. This fastball still averaging 96.74. My words to everybody, Dynasty League owners, go shopping. I think Yordano Ventura is a guy that you want on your team from a Dynasty League standpoint. Yeah, he doesn't have the stature of a guy who's going to be a top of the rotation arm, but the stuff is really good. He is getting a little unlucky. We wish he had a little bit better command, but he's a young kid. Should he be owned for the rest of the year? Yeah, I think there's some opportunities. We're talking a xFIP of 3.69 and an ERA of 5.19. You're talking a run and a half advantage there. So there's definitely going to be some correction coming. And I don't think there's anything wrong with this stuff. I think there's a lot of bad luck happening to young Yordano Ventura. Stephen Biscotti gets the call. I should have asked Lenny about him. He's been talking about Stephen Biscotti for the last 2 years. I like him okay. He's a good hitter, kind of a similar kind of batter to Michael Conforto. A good bat, not a ton of power, a little bit more in-game power than Michael Conforto, but not quite a better hitter than Conforto. What I worry about, if he's only first base eligible, which he shouldn't be because he came up through the ranks as an outfielder, and most sites will have him as an outfielder first, and he'll gain first base eligibility. So if he's an outfielder eligibility, I'm probably picking him up. I'm taking a run at him. But man, if he's first base only, I just don't see it. I think it's a guy that might get you 4 or 5 home runs the rest of the way. I do think he'll get the majority of at-bats, but I don't see a lot of power coming from him. So if you can play him in the outfield, he can be a fourth or fifth outfielder for you. I think you'll be okay there. I got a lot of Twitter questions about Zach Godley. threw a little bit harder than what I had heard. I've never seen him pitch. Brooks Baseball had him averaging 93 miles an hour. I'm guessing some of that is adrenaline-induced. He doesn't have a very good curve. He doesn't have great control. I think there's buyer beware. So if you were really excited about Zach Godley with the Arizona Diamondbacks, I think it's Godley, not Goodley, I would just, again, temper my expectations. I'm not sure there's a whole lot there. It is Arizona. It's very, very difficult to pitch there. It's a hitter's park. And he had a great outing. Kudos to him. The book will get on him very, very quickly, and I don't see a lot of upside there. One guy that I'm also getting a lot of questions about is Patrick Corbin. Patrick Corbin pitched extremely well this weekend, and he looked like the old Patrick Corbin. But if we take a look at Matt Harvey, you take a look at Jose Fernandez, all these guys that are coming back from Tommy John surgery, they're going to have really good games where they look like they're, you know, what they were prior to Tommy John surgery. You're going to have a lot of stinkers out there. Now, granted, Jose Fernandez and Matt Harvey are better pitchers than Patrick Corbin, but Patrick Corbin's going to have a lot of very poor outings as well as he comes back long-term. This time next year, he could be a top 40 pitcher easily. The rest of the season, it's going to be hit or miss, and I don't even think it's one of those situations where you can stream them. Yeah, I'd rather have them not in Coors Field, but going up against the Colorado Rockies. I'd probably pitch them, obviously, down in San Diego because that team is really struggling. Anywhere San Francisco is playing, either at home or at Chase Field in Arizona. But, you know, other kind of venues and teams, I'm definitely sitting them. So I just don't trust him enough until that command gets there. That's the last thing to come. He'll look like he's throwing strikes, and then you'll see the ball drift over 4 inches, and it will get crushed. So buyer beware on Patrick Corbin. Kyle Schwarber isn't this good. Timmy and I talked about him last week, but he's also really, really good. I have no idea what Joe Maddon is thinking. Get this guy in the lineup. He has got to play left field. If you're a Chris Coughlin owner, boy, I think you're dead man walking there, because I got to think that Kyle Schwarber is going to be out there. I made the call, told everybody I think it was time to sell Chris Bryant about 3 weeks ago. Everything was lining up that there was going to be a massive correction happening. We're seeing it. We're seeing a correction happening then consequently to Rizzo, because now Rizzo is completely exposed and they're simply pitching around him. He's reaching for pitches a little bit now. And it's all because Chris Bryant is swinging and missing too much, and they found the holes in his swing. And we saw it coming. I hope everybody had the courage to move Chris Bryant, because you could have probably gotten a King's ransom right before the All-Star break, because now we're seeing a correction and he's down in the mid 250s. And I think you're going to see that batting average continue to go down. And don't be surprised if Chris Bryant starts to drop in the batting order just because of the struggle he's having. Kyle Schwarber can't be that answer, because it'll take a while for the lead to get a book on him. Plus, candidly, he's a better pure hitter than Chris Bryant. I don't think better fantasy player. Chris Bryant's going to have some speed. Chris Bryant has a lot more raw power than Kyle Schwarber, but they need to be playing him six times a week. Joe Maddon's smart enough to know that, and I think they're going to make that change very, very quickly. I'd be all in on Kyle Schwarber if he's somehow on the waiver wire and he's still out there and it's bidding time this weekend. You got to go all in. That's just my opinion. I know the great Tim McLeod said he would rather have JT Realmuto. I'm taking Kyle Schwarber. It's interesting. How much is Aramis Ramirez worth? I mean, all of us in a fantasy the league know that it's not much, because he's pretty much on every waiver wire. But even I thought he'd be more than Jonathan Berrios. Who the heck is Jonathan Berrios? I saw him. I went back to my notes. I saw him when he was a batter 3 years ago. He's a pitcher now. He's an infielder. He was a second baseman when I saw him. Actually, I'm sorry, a shortstop when I saw him. So he's got a really good arm. But, man, he has no idea where the ball is going. And that's what the Pirates had to give up to get Aramis Ramirez. It's interesting. I heard a statistic, and it's true because he was a Cub before that. He'll play his all 18 years all in the Central Division, which is pretty remarkable. Hopefully, he'll get a chance to make it to the postseason. The Pirates look really, really good. Again, Gerrit Cole with another pretty remarkable outing. Francisco Liriano still looking very strong. A.J. Burnett starting to wobble a little bit here as we get towards the end of the season. That's a really, really good team. And I'm hoping that Aramis Ramirez gets a chance to play in the postseason because that would be very, very nice of him. I'm not sure there's any fantasy implications. He's probably going to be the same player. Maybe a few more RBI opportunities in Pittsburgh, but not a whole lot there. The most interesting trade was clearly what the Astros did. I love it for the Astros. Scott Kazmir, I think, is if he's healthy, I think can really, really help that team. I think Dallas Keuchel, who got hit a little bit hard today from the Royals, I think he's your number one. I think Scott Kazmir, two lefties, is going to be your number two. And it's probably going to then be Lance McCullers is the number three guy. So McCullers, assuming they can continue to work his innings there, is probably their third best starter. I mean, Colin McHugh can have good games. If that curveball isn't moving, he is imminently hittable. So I think he comes in as your number four. I do not think the Astros are finished making a move, but I think Scott Kazmir was a really nice pickup. Again, assuming he is healthy, I think he's really going to help that team. It did cost them. Two guys that they gave up I really like a lot. Daniel Megden is, I've seen him. He's, you know, it's funny because he's going to Oakland. And as soon as I saw where he was going, I immediately thought of Kendall Graveman. Remember how I was on Kendall Graveman in the offseason thinking that I really thought when he came up through Toronto and blitzed through four levels last year, I thought he was a really nice pickup for the A's. And he's got a huge split. But overall, I think it's a 3.69 ERA. But at home, he's less than a 3 ERA. On the road, he's a more than a 5 ERA. So a streaming kind of pitcher. I think Daniel Megden is a similar guy. 4-pitch mix, not great stuff. Probably a number 4 starter. A little bit better playing in Oakland. Oakland knows what they're doing. They understand the ballpark. They understand the division they play in. And when they go off and get guys, they're getting guys that they think can help them in their ballpark. Billy Bean is really, really smart. Daniel Megden is a guy only in high A, should be in double A by the end of the year, definitely next year, is a guy that could see the major leagues at the end of next year, sometime next year or 2017. College kid, going to move quickly, going to be better than everybody thinks. Dynasty League owners, go out and read my stuff out on Prospect 361 where I wrote up a really nice article. Really like him. Having said that, the big catch is Jacob Nottingham. Catcher. I did get a chance, believe it or not, to see him last week. I was actually on vacation with my wife. She goes, "Hey, I want to go see a game. Where's this Lancaster thing that you're always tweeting out from? Let's go up there." So we schlepped out in the car, went out to Lancaster, and got a chance to see Jacob Nottingham. And he didn't have a great game. But it was a very, very impressive outing. It was quickly traded, I think, 3 days after that. A nice offensive first catcher. I didn't really like what I saw behind the plate, stabbed a little bit at the ball. I don't think there's great framing. Looks like he has a plus arm. I had him at 192, if memory serves me correctly, which is as soon as you catch the ball and the time it hits the second baseman's glove, that's your timing. You want to see below 2 seconds, but really a lead is below 1.9. So it's a good strength in his arm. But the guy can hit. The batting practice was fairly impressive. He's going to have plus-plus power. Not plus-plus. He's going to have plus power. I think he has plus-plus raw power. Really interesting pull by the Oakland Athletics. Dynasty League owners, you need to take note of this. Catchers are very, very hard to come by. Definitely in a two-catcher league, I think long-term is a guy that will have value in a couple of years. Though the Oakland Coliseum will depress some of his power. He could be a Derek Norris type of player, maybe with a slightly better hit tool, but a chance to hit 20 home runs. So they had to give up a lot to get Scott Kazmir, but Johnny Cueto, they had to give the Kansas City Royals, I mean, they gave up Brandon Finnegan, who's okay, but John Lamb, we talked about him last week. Go back and listen to that. If the reports coming out from the mainstream media in Kansas City were true, that his stuff is back up to 93 miles an hour, I have yet to get confirmation on that. It's a guy that you definitely want to own. So much so that I put a call out today. I was actually on Sirius and this afternoon, and I said, if there's one guy you want to be putting a fab bid on this weekend, is Jonathan Lamb. He is going to take Johnny Cueto's spot more than likely, or Mike Leake's spot once Mike Leake gets traded. John Lamb is a guy that you want to own on your fantasy team. I think he's got a chance to do something, and you got to get him before everybody else figures that out. If his stuff is still, when I saw him in the mid-80s, you don't want him. But get him on your team because I think he's going to get a chance. And we're going to see very, very quickly, because PitchFX will not lie. If he's sitting 92, 93, given the stuff that I saw, and I comped him, if you go back and read my article about John Lamb, he reminded me of Barry Zito. It was the exact same motion. It was the same shape of the curveball. I mean, it was beautiful. The problem is fastball was 86 miles an hour. His curveball was 69 miles an hour, and people were crushing it. This was at Wilmington and High A. But if it's back, I think it's an interesting catch. Cody Reed, don't know a lot about him from notes that I have, probably a reliever long term, does have a good arm. So all three lefties, I like John Lamb the most. Brandon Finnegan to me is probably a more of a back of the rotation kind of guy, a polished college pitcher that probably got screwed up a little bit with the being promoted to the majors too soon and kind of in the spotlight. Might have messed with them a little bit, but there's definitely something there. Dynasty league owners, I just don't know. I mean, he moves to a really not the greatest park, so not sure I'm really happy about Brandon Finnegan and owning him in a dynasty league. Tuesday night, if you like starting pitchers, you like young kids, it was the night because we had Aaron Nola going, Vince Velasquez, Chris Heston, Brian Johnson, Carlos Rodon, all went. Also, Rocio Iglesias, Kendall Graveman, all went on Tuesday night. Aaron Nola looked really, really good. He pitched again today. I think he got a win. So I think he got his major league first victory. I wonder if that's the great Tim McLeod on the air. Let me click the little button. Timmy, is that you?
Good evening, Mr. Wilson. You're sounding good.
You cannot stay away. I mean, you are, it's unbelievable, Tim. You're just addicted, right?
Well, you know, Google addict, okay, baseball addict, and odds are pretty good my picture's going to pop up, and hopefully it's the one in the tie. I was actually, I almost cleaned up good, eh, Rich?
I thought, Tim, that picture, you looked great. I didn't even know you owned a tie, and it was a hip tie too, Tim. It was very, very impressive. Of course, Kathy was way better looking than you, no offense, but you look great, Tim.
Well, thanks, Richard. Yeah, that's a given that she's going to look way better than me. But, you know, I found that fashion works in trends, and I picked up that tie sometime in the 1970s, and it's now back in, so I did well.
Yeah, probably two or three times it's come back in, so it's you bought it that long ago. So the whole world wants to know how the toast went.
Yeah, the toast went fine. Kathy started it. I finished it. We had a lot of fun. It was a great time. I've never been involved in a barn wedding before, Rich, and it was truly a blast. We got very lucky because there were tornado warnings in effect, and it was outside, and it just started. Yeah, tornado warnings on your wedding day. That's probably
not a good sign. That's not a good sign, is it?
No, but we just got back inside, maybe 2 minutes, and it came down in buckets for about 50, and the wind picked up to about 55, 60 miles an hour. And it's just a good thing we got everything done when we did, or else there would have been a whole bunch of drowned rats for that reception.
Wow. Wow. It's great. Now, who got married? Was it one of your children, or was it a relative? What went down there?
It was the oldest lad, Jordy.
Okay.
He's Yeah, he's 32, so we've now got one of the two boys is off enjoying married life. As a matter of fact, he's in Mexico. They flew out, they actually left in a limo. We're an hour north of Calgary and took a limo into Calgary, slept for about 2 hours, and got on a plane to Mexico. So they're enjoying their honeymoon.
Yeah, well, tell him not to drink the water. Tell him not to drink the water, Tim. That's what you the first thing you want to do. Do not drink the water. Take that from I have deep experience in this, Tim.
Yeah, I think this is his third trip, and he made that fatal error on the first one, never to be repeated, never.
Yeah, and what gets you is the ice, because I remember my wife and I went on a brew crew, one of those, you know, you go out drinking and stuff, and I don't really drink, so well, I don't drink at all, so it was like, but I had, like, soda and stuff like that the next day. Both my wife and I were like, this isn't good, man, and it was Montezuma's revenge in the worst sort of way.
Well, yeah, that Montezuma, he can be a real cruel individual, can't he?
Yes. So what's the plan, Tim? You're back in Canada or back home on Thursday?
Well, yeah, I got a cousin a couple hours north of here, so we're going to go visit him and his family for a couple days. And then we're going to scoot back down into Montana and probably end up home Friday, Saturday, sometime around there. You know, when either the money or the gas runs out.
Okay, that's good. Well, hopefully they're one and the same. So, Timmy, how were the Nasty Cast guys? Were they creepy, Tim, or were they okay?
Absolutely awesome. What a great bunch of guys, Rich. They really were. They put on a barbecue and barbecued up some sausages and some burgers and some tube steaks, and we sat around talking baseball for a couple hours. Great bunch of guys. It was a lot of fun. It really was.
That's awesome, Tim. That's really awesome. Heartburn afterwards? Because I know at my age, sausage, hot dogs, and hamburgers, that usually leads to a box of Tums later on.
No, actually, it was great. And you know what the highlight was is – They offered me a drink, and I said, "Well, sure, I'll take a pop soda, whatever you've got." And of course, Nathan has to present me with a cherry Coke. I tell you, it doesn't get any better.
Well, it could have been. What was dessert comprised of gummy bears, Tim?
Well, no, but that would be pushing it just a tad.
Okay,
I'll take the cherry Coke, and I'll be real happy.
Tim, you got any baseball news for me at all? I mean, it's just, are you off any tidbit that you want to share with our listeners? Any great wisdom that up north now that you've learned about a guy that you might want to be picking up this week and that you want to share?
Well, I was going to mention that Mike Trout kid is a really good player, isn't he?
Two home runs, Timmy, five RBIs. I mean, you got him in town. I got him on my NFBC team. I jumped like 4 points just on the back of Mike Trout today.
Well, you know, Mike Trout is carrying teams, and he's going to continue to. I've been sort of out of the loop on baseball. I've missed setting lineups. I've been very neglectful, but I am keeping a close watch on my Trout team, and I'll make sure to get probably a small bit in on that Lamb guy, but I got to cut J.J. Hoover to do it. Would you do it, Rich?
Oh, Tim, no, you can't, given that if Aroldis Chapman gets traded on Friday, you've just screwed yourself. I mean, it's just bad timing.
Yeah, the two choices I have are Hoover and Vizcaíno, and I think both of them.
Can't do that either.
Well, yeah, and Dalton Pompey's tearing it up, so I don't want to cut him. I'm starting to get myself into a bind right now until after the deadline, so I think I'll take your advice and just stand pat for now.
Yeah, my only thought, and Tim, I know your love for Dalton Pompey. Mine runs very deep as well, and he has been remarkable. I just don't see him coming up for more than a September call-up. I don't see how he plays, and he was just promoted way too early this year, just wasn't ready. He's going to be much, much better next year when I think he gets up and he takes over that position. I just don't know if you're going to have any value with him, but I know you disagree and want to keep on to him. That's the only one that I would question.
Well, yeah, the problem I have, and I picked up Peraza last week cheap as well, is I got some points to potentially gain in stolen bases. Yeah. And I'm thinking even a September call-up, I could get three, four stolen bases out of Pompey and maybe Peraza down the stretch, that could be worth one or two points. And let's face it, last year I pulled it off on the last day. So even a small gain at the end, I'm sort of preparing that that's going to have to be the way it shakes down, Rich.
Yeah, I agree. Tony, Timmy, the demise of Clayton Kershaw, a little bit premature. The guy has been unbelievable. Granted, it was the Mets. We almost did another perfect game, but he's been ridiculous his last three starts.
Well, yeah, he has. And I think the problem was he was also not having a really bad year. He just wasn't having a good enough year. Not the caliber of year that everybody was anticipating based on what they paid for the guy. But he hasn't had a bad year at all. And what happened the other night? How did the Mets score 15 runs?
What's up with that?
The other day, I think it was 2 days ago, I was looking at the line score. And, man, the box was just filled right to the hilt. I think they beat the Dodgers 15 to something. I'm thinking to myself, like, that's a good month, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. In fact, I think I saw something. They scored more in one game than they did the last, like, week or something like that. I mean, hey, Michael Conforto up hitting four hits. And Juan Uribe, Kelly Johnson. It's a bizarre, like, meaningless trade, you know, almost, except Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson. So they might be the two best hitters, Conforto, the three best hitters now on that team. I mean, that's how bad that team is.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, when you look at a trade and you measure it and you say, hey, that's nothing. It's a garbage trade. It's not going to help. But if those players are better than what you've got in your existing lineup, well, hey, it's got to help, right?
So here's Kershaw, 140 innings now, 185 strikeouts, 27 walks, and now a 2.51 ERA. Tim, he's become, I mean, his ERA was a little bit inflated. It was a little over three. It's going to be down at Cy Young territory again, Tim, and he's going to be right in it to win the Cy Young. We're seeing Max Scherzer coming back to the pack a little bit. It might come down to Kershaw versus Greinke. That might be where the award comes down. But Kershaw's done nothing but be Kershaw, and it was remarkable what he's done the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, definitely. I'm outside enjoying a breath of stale air here, and Kathy's laughing at me because every time I walk back and forth, I open the automatic doors, eh? So she's sort of shaking her head at me. Sorry about that, Rich.
Okay, that's okay. But, Timmy, I don't want to take away from your family time. I appreciate you calling in, and I know you can't stay away. We will see you, talk to you again on Sunday, though.
Yes, and you know what? I think come next Sunday, Rich, we are going to have ourselves one heck of a show because there's got to be some movement this week, and who knows what it's going to be. I've always said that, you know, possibly the biggest trade is the one that nobody even considers, and I think that option is still out. I think there's going to be a deal somewhere along the line this week that's going to come out of nowhere that nobody saw, but it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show next week because it's going to be all about trades. And not just the guy who got traded to him, but the guy now who takes the person who got traded spot. And that's a lot of times how you can win your fantasy league is by just making sure you got the right guy picking up who's going to either pick up the innings or pick up the at-bats. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday, Timmy.
Sounds great, Rich. I'm looking forward to it. And, again, great job. It was great to hear Lenny on you guys were absolutely awesome, and looking forward to catching up next week, Rich.
Great, Timmy. Safe travels, my friend.
Yes, will do. Catch you later.
All right, that's the great Tim McLeod calling in from, I guess, north of Calgary. I'm not even sure where Calgary is, but I think it's somewhere above that Canadian line. We were talking about rookies. Really don't have too much time to go over that. Vincent Velasquez also pitched that night, did really well. Now with the movement of Scott Kazmir, he goes to the bullpen. Lots of questions. What do I do with VV? And, you know, if you can hold him for another week or so, do it. But there's a good chance he's going to be in the bullpen the rest of the year. I don't think he'll pitch well in the bullpen. His stuff, he's never pitched in the bullpen. His stuff is definitely starter quality. But long-term, I think this guy has got a chance to be very, very good. I think it's a ceiling of a number two And he's got a chance to hit that ceiling. So a great fastball slider combination. I've always been a big fan of Vincent Velasquez. Chris Heston, Timmy and I were wrong about this guy. I don't know what to say. 7 1/3 innings pitch, 1 hit, 6 strikeouts, 2 walks. Fastballs only averaging 90.79. He doesn't have great stuff, but man, he knows how to pitch and he's got above average control. The fact is he's pitching in San Francisco. He's getting a huge benefit from that. 57% ground ball rate. Congratulations if you didn't listen to us and stuck with him, because he's way better than any of us thought he was going to be. Outside of San Francisco, though, buyer beware. If he ever gets traded, buyer beware. Brian Johnson did not pitch well. Again, he's more of a command and control guy. Didn't show up in his first outing because it was, I think, what, 3 strikeouts, 4 walks. That is not Brian Johnson. What is Brian Johnson is fastball averaging 88.34. So his margin of error is very small. When you don't throw hard, it's really tough to make it in the league unless you've got Dallas Keuchel pinpoint control. And you can basically pitch the ball where the catcher's mitt is. If you can't do that, you're going to get crushed. And we saw that with Brian Johnson. Carlos Rodon pitched poorly, had a really good outing today to make up for that. Here's the deal with Carlos Rodon. Until he gets better than 30 grade control, he's tough to own in a fantasy league. He's tough to start in a fantasy league. His arm is fantastic. That everybody's seen the slider. Everybody's seen the fastball slider combination. Guys, lefties that can throw 95 miles an hour do not grow on trees. Lefties that have that kind of slider do not grow on trees. The problem is if you're going to walk, he's walking I don't know. It's like almost 5 per 9. I don't have the stat up in front of me. You can't live that way. It doesn't matter how good the stuff you have. If you're walking that many batters, you're in trouble. So just be careful with Carlos Rodon. In a dynasty league, he's going to be golden down the road, but he's tough to start right now because he can blow your ratios up very quickly. He's not going to win a lot of games. He's going to be shut down in probably about a month to 5 weeks. So all the warning signals are out there about Carlos Rodon. He's going to have some really good games like he did today, and he's going to have some awful games like he did on Tuesday. 4 innings pitched, 7 hits, 7 earned runs, 6 strikeouts, 3 walks. Let's get to 2-start pitchers. I didn't actually write those down. So let me go over to, where am I? My 2-start pitchers, going over to CBS, clicking that on, and up they're coming. Here we go. Lots of 2-start pitchers this week. I'm just going to go down to the bottom of the list. A couple amazing names here and a lot of bad pitchers. So I'm going to try to save you guys a little bit. First guy is Kevin Gausman. He's been in the news a lot because it was rumored that he might moved here at the deadline. Buck Showalter's come up and said, absolutely not. And I get it. He's got a great arm, throws hard, has a really good curveball. He has 2 big problems. 1, he doesn't have a third pitch. And 2 is the Orioles have done a horrible job developing this guy. His mechanics are all screwed up. When I went back and took a look, because I saw him in college when he was at LSU, and I remember really smooth mechanics. I remember a changeup not being very good. But I see him like throwing across his body. I'm like, why the heck did they do that? Maybe try to create a little deception. When I watched the tape of him in college, and then I watched the tape of him, because I just did this a couple of days ago, when he's the ball, he was a better pitcher in college. I'm sorry, his mechanics were smoother in college. His fastball is pretty much the same. His curveball still looked great. But I don't know what the heck they are doing with Kevin Gausman. And it's a little scary because I tweeted that out as somebody was asking me a question about Kevin Gausman. And somebody responded back, well, who was the last pitcher that the Orioles have developed? And is it Moose? Was it, was it about 15 years ago when Mike Mussina came up? Was that 1985? And then you see what happened to Dylan Bundy and the fact he can't get healthy, and then Hunter Harvey and all these young kids, and you begin to get a little worried about pitchers coming up through the Orioles organization. Think about Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta had a huge upside, number two, second round pick when he was drafted. I forgot exactly when. He didn't turn into Jake Arrieta that we know today until he moved to Chicago. Chris Tillman also had really good stuff, ground ball machine. He's been okay. He's never really hit his ceiling either. So I don't know. Kevin Gausman really scares me. And if you take a look at what he's done the last three outings, 6.19 ERA, 16 innings pitched, 15 strikeouts, 5 walks. But and he's 0-2, but it's the command. It's just not there. And he's getting hit. He's getting hit really, really hard. I think it's buyer beware on that. It's a little dicey. Home against Atlanta, home against Detroit. Detroit is hurting a lot, but it's still Detroit. So be careful there. Raisel Iglesias at St. Louis, Lance Lynn at home at Pittsburgh versus Garrett Cole. Another guy with good stuff, 6.89 ERA, 18 strikeouts, 4 walks, and 15 two-thirds innings. I'm not sure he's going to be able to go far enough to even qualify for a win. I'm not starting Raisel Iglesias. I wish I could start Matt Harrison because I really need him in my NFBC team, but 10 innings pitched, 3 strikeouts, 4 walks. You just can't be rolling Matt Harrison out yet. Ground ball machine, but home against the Yankees, don't like that. Home against San Francisco, you like that one a lot. But, man, Matt Harrison scares the death out of me. Martin Perez, I don't know if this is his season debut coming back for, no, it says not, but 11 innings pitched. So he's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Same against the Yankees and against the San Francisco Giants, 4.91 ERA. I like him a lot. I would not be starting Martin Perez yet either. We're seeing it with all these Tommy John guys coming back. It's taking them several starts to really get their stuff back. Felix DeBrunt, there's a lot of no's on this. Felix DeBrunt, home against Philadelphia, like home against Kansas City, is going to get killed. Felix DeBrunt, who I've always liked, I love the stuff, I like the competitor, but 16 in a third innings, 9 strikeouts, 3 walks, not for me. So all of those guys, if I were to pick a guy out of all of that, I would probably go with Matt Harrison. If you had a gun to my head, that was probably who I pick. Home against the Yankees and home against San Francisco and Tim Hudson, I would roll the dice on that. And given the fact that he's coming back from a shoulder injury, hope that some things have turned around a little bit. But of all of those guys, that's probably where I would go. I would not start Kevin Gausman, and that pains me just because of the difficulty that he's had with commanding his arsenal. And I blame the Baltimore Orioles. If you disagree, reach out to me at Rich Wilson FSG, at Rich Wilson FSG. As we spend the last 3 minutes, I just want to kind of tell everybody a little bit of show information. I know many of you have been with us for a long, long time. Obviously, some of you remember Lenny back when he did the show. We've enjoyed immensely every Sunday and now on midweek bringing the show to you. We love it. It is kind of a passion and a labor of love to do the show. But you'll notice today we broke a couple of times for commercials. You'll notice the reads that we've been doing for FanDuel. As the show has grown in popularity and quite frankly the quality of the show, there are a number of advertisers who have wanted to come in and basically advertise on our show. And I've rejected all of them in the past. When FanDuel came a knocking, I thought I liked the deal. I liked what they were talking about. I played a little bit of daily fantasy baseball. I know it's controversial. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I get it. But the fact that, you know, that we were working with them, quite frankly, to get paid a little bit because, you know, we've wanted to bring a little bit of income into this show just because of how many hours we actually spend doing it. We've also spent a lot of time with Blog Talk Radio and working through their advertising, how they want to set that up with the software and so forth. And you're going to see today for the first time dropping in basically professional ads throughout the show. So I created a couple little musical clips that will take us into the commercial and out of the commercial. We'll figure out the timing of how we do that. But we're going to start to run commercials. Some of you are going to go out on Twitter. Some of you are going to go out on iTunes and say, we've sold out. Why are you doing this? How dare you? We want to hear Tim and Rich talk for an hour and a half without a commercial. I'm sorry. It was interesting. And just to give you a little sense, Tim has been in the business for, I don't know, 10 years. I sent Tim just a little bit of money for the money that we got from FanDuel. It wasn't a whole lot. And it was amazing. I said, Tim, I want to send you a little cash. Do you mean to do that via check or PayPal? No thought that he was, I figured he'd say, we'll just send it through the mail. And he says, no, I have a PayPal account. Truly laughed out loud. I know people say LOL and sometimes you giggle or something. I truly laughed hard because Tim McCloud with a PayPal account was pretty darn impressive. So I'm like, wow, Tim's got to pay. So I sent him a little money and he commented to me that in all the years he's been doing fantasy sports, he's never gotten paid for anything. And that just really struck me as somebody who's won Tout Wars, is noted in the industry, and has never been like compensated for any of the work that he's done. And it just shows you, a lot of people think this is fun, and it is, but it's really hard to make a living doing this. And you know, Tim and I will always have full-time jobs, but to be able to reward Tim a little bit with a little bit of money to allow me to take my wife out from time to time to dinner on the show's nickel, I think that's okay. So if you call me a sellout, yeah, call me a sellout. But we're trying to have legitimate commercials. And I, you know, it's interesting because the commercials they drop in are from a list of people that want to advertise throughout Blog Talk Radio. So I don't have a lot of editorial licenses. So I told them that if an Ashley Madison commercial gets on the show, I'm going to kill somebody because I do not want basically that those types of sponsors on our shows. So if that happens, then we'll probably rethink that a little bit. But as long as it's legitimate, normal kind of advertisers, I'm absolutely fine with that. And I hope you will be too. I hope you won't brutalize us out on social media. That's what we're doing. So expect two to three or four type of commercials at the beginning of the show, which has been there for a long time. Blog Talk Radio has always done that. And a couple of things. We'll probably have a sponsor for Tim's waiver wire and maybe another one, and then probably one at the end of the show. So there'll be 30 seconds apiece. So hopefully you will be okay with that. So I did want to share that with you. And with that, we will see everybody on Wednesday. Let's see. No, it can't be Wednesday because I'm at a game. I think I'm going to I don't know where I'm going. I'm going, maybe going out to Staten Island. I'll tweet out where I'm going to be, but Wednesday night I'm out. So it could be either Tuesday I'm doing a show or potentially Thursday. So there'll be a show this week and we'll probably be talking the waiver wire, the trade deadline stuff that's coming up. Okay, everybody. So we'll see you then and we'll see everybody definitely next Sunday.
tops and broken down stages.